All right, let's jump into a case today that really kind of messes with this whole police power versus your rights thing. Bailey v. United States, a 2013 Supreme Court decision that put some pretty serious limits on what police can do when they're detaining someone during a search warrant. It's almost like, setting up a perimeter around a crime scene. Things get a lot less clear the further out you go.
It's interesting how this case really boils down to this idea of immediate vicinity, which, as you can imagine, led to a whole lot of debate among lawyers and legal scholars and all that. Because you've got law enforcement, right? They need to be able to secure a scene, prevent suspects from taking off or, destroying evidence and all that.
Of course, yeah.
But then on the flip side, we've got the Fourth Amendment protecting us from unreasonable searches and seizures.
Yeah, and in Bailey's case, that line got really, really blurry.
Yeah, it
We've
did.
got the court documents and the legal analysis, and they all spell out how the police actually detained him a full mile away
A full mile.
from the place they were searching.
Wow.
So the question is, was that even remotely constitutional?
Yeah, and the court basically said, hold on a second, a mile, that's way too far. And so they went back to this earlier case, Michigan v. Summers, which allowed for these on-site detentions while a search is happening. Summers had these three justifications for it: officer safety, preventing flight, and facilitating the search itself.
Because if someone's right there at the scene, they could pose a threat to the officer. They could run off or mess with the evidence.
But the thing is, the Bailey court said those reasons, those justifications, they kind of fall apart the further away you get from where the search is actually happening.
That makes sense.
Like, if someone's a mile away, how much of a threat can they actually be to officers at the scene?
Not much, no.
And it's not like they can magically help with the search from that distance either.
No, they can't.
No. So the court recognized that detaining someone like miles away doesn't really line up with what a search warrant's all about, which is focused on a specific location.
So Bailey basically threw everyone a curveball by saying those Summers justifications only really hold up if you're within a reasonable proximity to the search. But how do you define reasonable proximity? That seems like a recipe for a legal headache.
Oh, yeah. You're telling me the court even admitted they're like, yeah, there needs to be some wiggle room. But they didn't give us any hard and fast
Oh,
rules.
great. So basically, we've got this brand new legal standard with no clear instructions on how to use it. I can only imagine the chaos this caused in courtrooms across the country.
Oh, absolutely. It sent shockwaves through the system. Defense attorneys started looking at every detention with a fine-tooth comb, especially if it happened even a block away from a search, arguing that the police had gone too far.
I bet prosecutors weren't too happy about this either.
Oh, no, not at all. Now, they had to work twice as hard to prove that any detention, even ones close to the search, was actually justified. It became this whole how close is too close game. And judges had to figure out if a specific distance fell into that immediate vicinity gray area.
So it sounds like Bailey really shook things up, forced everyone to rethink where the boundaries are for police power during searches.
Oh, absolutely. And this is just the tip of the iceberg.
Okay, so last time we were talking about the Supreme Court kind of throwing this immediate vicinity curveball in Bailey v. United States. They basically said police can't just detain you miles away from a search warrant and call it a day, but they didn't really tell us what immediate vicinity actually means.
Yeah, it's like they gave us this puzzle and then took away half the pieces. And of course, that's led to some pretty interesting legal fights.
Okay, so let's pretend we're judges for a minute. Can you give us some real-world scenarios where this standard has been tested? Like, how do we make sense of this?
All right, so let's say the police are getting ready to execute a search warrant on a house. They think it's a drug trafficking hub. And as they're approaching, a car suddenly comes speeding out of the driveway, takes off.
Okay, so that sounds pretty suspicious, but is that enough to pull them over? They're not technically on the property anymore.
Well, that's where those Summers justifications we talked about come in, right? Is the fleeing car a threat to officer safety?
Probably not.
Not really. Are they likely carrying evidence that's really important to the search?
Probably not.
Probably not. And preventing flight? Well, they're already fleeing.
Yeah, so in that case, pulling them over just based on Summers seems kind of iffy. They've gone beyond that immediate vicinity in a way that those justifications don't really apply.
Exactly. But what if let's change it up a little bit. What if the police got a tip beforehand that this specific car was being used to transport drugs?
Oh, okay. Now we're talking. That changes things, right?
It does. Now we're getting into Terry v. Ohio territory.
Okay.
Which allows for brief investigative stops if there's reasonable suspicion.
Right.
If the police have specific info connecting that car to the crime, they're investigating that speeding away could be enough for reasonable suspicion.
So it's not just about how close you are physically, but also if they have a good reason to think you're involved in what's going on in the warrant.
Precisely. It's got to be more than a hunch or a gut feeling.
Right.
There needs to be a clear connection between the person and the suspected criminal activity.
All right, let's try another one. What if the police are about to search an apartment and they see someone walking down the street like a block away? Would that be immediate vicinity?
Now we're getting into the really tricky part of Bailey. A block away is definitely closer than a mile, but it's still not right at the scene.
So how do we decide if detaining them is okay? Are we back to looking at those Summers justifications again?
Absolutely. The police would need to explain why detaining this person a block away is actually necessary for officer safety, for helping with the search, or to prevent them from running away.
And just seeing someone walk down the street, even if it seems a little weird, probably wouldn't be enough, right?
No, unless there's something more specific tying that person to the apartment or what they're investigating. Mm-hmm. They need more than just a vague suspicion to stop someone who's not right there at the search.
So this really shows how much Bailey depends on the situation. There's no magic formula, no set distance that automatically counts as immediate vicinity. It's all about looking at the specifics and those Summers justifications.
Exactly. Bailey basically forced law enforcement to be more careful and thoughtful in what they do during searches.
Yeah.
They can't just cast a wide net and detain anyone within a certain radius.
Right. It sounds like this case really highlighted how important it is to find that balance between giving police the tools they need to do their job while also protecting people's Fourth Amendment rights.
Absolutely. And it's a conversation that's still going on as courts try to figure out what immediate vicinity actually means and how it applies in all these different situations. But there's no doubt that Bailey changed the way we think about detentions during searches.
So after Bailey, it's not just about where you are, but also who you are and why the police think you might be involved.
Exactly. It's about making sure that any detention, no matter how close to the search, is based on more than just being there or a feeling. There has to be a real connection to the suspected crime.
It sounds like Bailey created a whole new set of challenges for both law enforcement and the courts.
Oh, it definitely made an already complex area of law even more complex. But it also made people start thinking seriously about the limits of police power and whether we need to be looking more closely at detentions during searches.
All right, so welcome back to our deep dive into Bailey v. United States. We've been trying to figure out this whole mess of police detentions during search warrants. We know immediate vicinity is the new standard, but figuring out what that actually means, not so easy.
It really is like trying to nail Jell-O to a wall.
Yeah.
The court gave us the concept, but left all the details up in the air, which has led to a lot of different interpretations and, of course, arguments.
Right, and that lack of clarity can have real-world consequences.
Yeah.
We've talked about hypotheticals, but I'd love to hear about some actual cases where this immediate vicinity rule really mattered, like where it was the deciding factor.
Oh, absolutely. There's this one case that really shows how this all plays out in real life. It was a drug investigation, and the police had a warrant to search an apartment.
Okay.
As they were getting close to the building, they saw a man walking out of the apartment complex and heading down the street.
Okay.
They stopped him, questioned him, and ended up finding drugs on him.
Okay, so not a mile away, like in Bailey's case. Mm-hmm. This guy was leaving the apartment complex. It seemed like a pretty clear case of immediate vicinity, right?
Mm. You'd think so, but hold on. The defense argued that even though the guy was geographically close to the apartment, there was no actual evidence linking him to the drugs. He was just leaving the building, not doing anything suspicious, and there was no sign he was involved in anything illegal.
So it wasn't enough that he was in the area. The police needed more to connect him to the investigation.
Exactly. And the court agreed. They said that just being close to the apartment without any other evidence wasn't enough to justify stopping and frisking him.
Yeah.
They ruled that the detention violated his Fourth Amendment rights, and they couldn't use the drugs as evidence.
Wow, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
It really drives home the point that immediate vicinity isn't just about physical distance. It's about having a real reason to think the person is involved in the crime being investigated.
Right. It's not just about being in the wrong place at the wrong time. It's about making sure any detention, even close to the search, is based on more than just being there.
So what you're saying is Bailey doesn't give the police the right to stop and question anyone near a search.
Exactly. There has to be a reasonable suspicion based on specific facts to justify stopping someone.
It sounds like this case made law enforcement agencies rethink how they do things during searches, like their procedures and training.
Oh, absolutely. Bailey has led to more focus on defining the scope of a search, really figuring out who the targets are and coming up with strategies for dealing with people who might be at or near the search location.
And I'm sure it's led to some interesting discussions among legal experts about how to balance effective law enforcement with protecting people's Fourth Amendment rights.
For sure. Bailey really got people talking about the limits of police power, the importance of judges keeping things in check, and the need to constantly look at how we handle searches and seizures.
So Bailey v. United States really has changed things. It's made us think harder about reasonable suspicion, how much power the police have, and what immediate vicinity really means.
It has, and it's a case that continues to be relevant. It reminds us that the Fourth Amendment isn't just some fixed rule, but a living principle that we need to keep re-examining and applying in a way that protects individual freedoms while still allowing law enforcement to do their job.
Well, that's about all the time we have for today. We've gone through the legal arguments, looked at real-world examples, and wrestled with this whole question of immediate vicinity. Hopefully you've come away with a better understanding of Bailey v. United States and a deeper appreciation for that tricky balance between police power and individual rights. As always, we encourage you to keep digging into these issues, look at other cases, and have those tough conversations about how the Fourth Amendment works in the real world. Until next time, stay curious and keep those legal minds sharp.